Welcome back to Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. This is a podcast about some of the most notoriously horrible movies Hollywood has ever churned out. And we're talking about how things clearly went so hilariously wrong. I'm Alex Dunbar. As always, I'm joined by Brian Mueller, Jack Estabrook, Andy Wolf, Cody Wolf. How's everyone doing?
Perfect.
Very well. Good, buddy.
Brian Mueller back from assignment.
And boy, did I find a great movie while I was on assignment. Touring the country for the worst of the movies.
I almost want to keep it a secret. I want people to like envision that Brian was like in Borneo watching like bad romantic comedies or something, you know, like out scouting like the worst the world has to offer.
Well, it's funny. I was engaged a few years ago and my fiance just left me and she invited me to Summer's Isle, which is where I was on assignment.
Oh, okay.
Which is a good lead-in. So I think
that is this.
Must have been a good year for the crop. That
it was. I have some honey out back.
You know, Brian, I didn't even know you had a plot.
It's a pretty bad one, but it's a plot.
And that is our segue. This week's movie, the Nicolas Cage remake of The Wicker Man. This movie is a disaster from the word
I think go. I actually in this one yelled, "Stop the movie, I want to get out." I think I did.
At what
point? It's really
I stopped the movie and went to sleep.
Yeah.
I fell asleep during the movie. Yeah.
Let's have Jack is going to provide us with a summary of the movie.
I don't know how many of you know, this is a film that Kyle Smith of the New York Post calls profoundly disturbing, blood-chilling, fantastically creepy. This movie is none of those. Basically,
I think you're talking about Nicolas Cage's performance.
Yeah, all of those things are accurate if you're talking about like the performances. Makeup effects in this movie.
What you do with quotes, you take them out of
context. So here's the synopsis from the back of the DVD cover of this masterpiece. Policeman Edward Malice doesn't know just how terrifying different
Can we find someone else to do this? We'll do an edit.
Policeman Edward Malice doesn't know just how terrifyingly different the people of Summer's Isle are, but he will. He's come to the private island to find a missing child, and each step of his search draws him deeper into a web of pagan ritual and deadly deceit. And closer to The Wicker Man. Nicolas Cage plays Malice. Ellen Burstyn portrays the eerie matriarch, Sister Summer's Isle. And Neil LaBute writes and directs the shattering tale of an unspeakable horror. Oh, God. Weary, wary, and increasingly on edge, Malice faces a defiant, unfamiliar world where his badge and gun mean nothing. And his presence on the isle means everything. It is the day of death and rebirth on Summer's Isle.
Wait, let the cat out of the bag.
I know.
Even as these DVD summaries go, that one is really involved.
I think they got the intern to write that one.
Holy cow.
Tommy, can you write a synopsis of this movie? I've only seen the first half. It's okay.
Yeah, that is really heavy. You know what? This is the day of death.
I'm going to make this point
right now before we get into the movie. There is a very accurate line in that summary. His gun means nothing. Nicolas Cage is a police officer who has a gun. We find out an hour into the movie, he's had a gun
all movie.
Break that sucker out any time.
He doesn't need his gun. He's got his fists.
The gun is useless.
I think that the tagline of this film says it all, at least in terms of our... From our perspective of having to watch this film, the tagline is "Some sacrifices must be made."
Yes, two hours.
You sacrifice your time and your attention to this pile of garbage.
Now, that's gonna be hard to do because it's just you don't want to blow the ending. You want to make it to the ending.
We're gonna try to dissect how ridiculous this is.
I think what we're gonna do is power through.
We're going to power through the movie, and then we're going to go back.
You're gritting your teeth as you're doing it, though.
There's going to be tons of spoilers, but we'll keep it, you know, chronological to a degree. Movie starts off, Nicolas Cage once again playing a police officer. It seems like half the movie is a police officer.
I think they reused that costume in Ghost Rider. His leather jacket and motorcycle.
Yeah, it looks like outtakes from Ghost Rider.
What was the deal? He's wearing this, chips? Or something. He's like some kind of a highway patrolman.
Nicolas Cage is a highway patrol officer. He sees a little girl throw a doll out of the window of a car. Nicolas Cage picks up the doll, and pulls the car over to give the family their doll back. And then, by the way, pulls the family over on like a hairpin turn.
Yeah.
You know, there's trucks whipping by right after, you know, there's this whole involved scene. Lo and behold, as Nicolas Cage is trying to do this nice thing, a gigantic tractor trailer hits the car of the family he was trying to give the doll back to, and the car explodes into flames.
Well, he tries to save the girl.
That's when the car explodes.
It gets thrown onto the pavement, and then we get the blaring title with the music. Bum, bum! The Wicker Man. What?
Yeah.
Literally, when I watched the DVD, I was like, what? And it was like, he's a highway cop. There's a montage of him pulling people over. Then the doll gets thrown out the window. He pulls the car over. Talks to the nice lady. She apologizes. Sorry, she's bored on the road. She's just being a brat. He says, it's okay. Gives her the doll. I think she throws the doll out of the car a second time.
To get him to go pick it up.
He goes to pick the car up. He goes to pick the doll up. Then the truck hits the car. He struggles valiantly to try to save the girl. The car explodes. He hits the pavement. The Wicker Man.
What about that doesn't say Wicker Man to you?
I just don't know.
So then we go, Nicolas Cage, now distraught, you know, very upset, you know.
And they never say how long it is.
He's out of work for his injuries, I guess.
He's depressed because he lost
the girl. Because
he wasn't able to save the girl. He was emotionally distraught.
Somehow I didn't get that. Go ahead.
Because he wasn't acting, maybe?
That's what it was. Some cop who's a friend of his comes and she's trying to console him and she's bringing him his mail. From work.
I don't know
how much mail you're really getting at work, but you know.
Really not clear what even like era this movie is in.
It's in a minute it's almost not going to matter what era. It includes a letter that has no postage on it, but does have a return address from Summer's Isle.
Summer's Isle.
It is a. If we read the whole letter, it'd be the entire. Podcast. The letters end.
Yeah, it was like, come on, get it over with. It may as well have been the life story of the person who wrote it.
She basically sends him a young adult novel somehow in a letter.
Did you see the penmanship on that letter, too?
Yeah.
It was like,
they teach them all.
I guess so.
This woman, Nicolas Cage's ex-fiancée writes him a letter and says, I need you to come to Summer's Isle. My daughter is missing. You're the only one I can trust. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're our only hope.
And then enclosed is a photograph of a girl who I was completely confused because it looks identical to the girl who blew up in the car.
Right.
So at this point, I'm like, oh, it's the girl who died.
Right.
So he's got to go to the island to tell this woman that the little girl is now dead.
Why do you know that?
But then he goes to the island and he's looking for the girl. I'm now confused.
Well, because
the girl in the picture is the girl from the car.
I think that's intentional. I think they intentionally wanted. I think that was
right. So he felt more for her.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I couldn't save.
You gotta go back.
Okay, but
she looks so identical to her though that you think that it's her.
Yeah.
You do.
So they miss the mark.
What makes it confusing because you're not like, wait, why is he not like this girl? It's the one who just died.
Well, I think
you're missing a plot point.
I have to go find the missing girl who died. In front of my eyes.
Well, let me say, I think, I'm not trying to, I can't believe I'm defending this movie. I think what they're going for is they're trying to say that they're playing on his guilt. He couldn't save the girl in the car, but maybe he can save the girl.
No, I got that, though, but she should have been a little different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the fact that she looked so much alike was confusing because then, to me, I'm like, it's not that it reminds him of this other girl, it's... To me, it was the exact girl.
Yeah.
For like 5 minutes. It was about half of the film.
I thought you gotta go back
a little bit because when that chick shows up and she's like, "Oh, here's your mail," he says to her, "Oh, they didn't find any bodies in the car."
Oh yeah, that was.
And she's like, "No, they didn't find any bodies in the car." I'm like, "How did he not find any bodies when he was smashing the window?" The girl in there was looking at the car, and then the car explodes. How did they not find bodies?
Wow. Well,
and why is he asking about the bodies? Is this supposed to be a few months later?
Right,
he's been out of it for long enough to have at least a couple weeks. So he still doesn't know if they found bodies.
So right there, come on, okay, something's weird. Right. Well, okay, guys,
it's not like they're in the ocean; it was on the highway.
So
this is a setup. So he's guilty. He's like, oh, gets this letter. He tells his friend, who looks like a cop right out of a porno with his mustache, that he's going to go to.
I thought you were talking about the other one, the chick.
No, the other guy, the guy with the mustache.
She did too, I think.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. And Porno Cop is really the only realistic character in the whole movie who all of this gets explained to Porno Cop, and he's like, this sounds ridiculous. ridiculous. What is what? You got a letter from some weird island with no stamp? He's like, why would you do this? Like, basically, Porno Cop calls out the movie and all its stupidity. We're 10 minutes in, and the character is already calling the movie stupid.
He's self-aware. He's warning the audience.
Yeah, it's like he's like a real guy. Like, it's like he didn't even have a script. He's like, no, I'm just gonna react to what he was saying to me.
This character's name, real guy.
Yeah.
In the credits.
Yeah. It's like documentary footage. So Nicholas, this is one of my favorite moments in the movie. Nicholas Cage realizes he's got to get to Summer's Isle. He's gonna go out there. He's having trouble getting there. He finds this pilot who's delivering supplies. This is like
insults him and then slips him $100 to take him to the island.
Well, yeah, the pilot's like,
This is somewhere in the scene.
We should say in the Pacific Northwest.
It's the best scene in the movie. How did you not like it?
And this pilot is like, there is no way. I'm not taking you there. I could get in big trouble. I could lose my contract with people. There is no way. Nicolas Cage offers him $250 bills. Guy's like, pop right in. $100? Sure, I'll risk my whole career for $100. Pops in the plane. I mean, I thought at least it was going to be like, you know, a real bribe.
Right, because they dropped him off and they knew right away.
Officer badge.
They knew right away that this old guy dropped him off, so.
So what's
wasn't
the mystery?
$100.
He says, I'm going to drop you off by the beach so it looks like you swam on shore. Yeah. So he drops him like in the water and he runs onto the island in waist deep water. It's like, why did you drop him off? How else is he going to get to the island? And they're going to know.
And then immediately admits that it was the pilot who brought him to the island.
The first people they see are like, how did you get here? He's like, oh, I can't say. Then they look right at the plane.
It may as well be like a scene out of a comedy. How did you get here? Because he's got a cover for the pilot. How did you get here? I don't know. And then dead silence and the plane's like over his shoulder in the background. It may as well have been like that.
How did you get here? What? I can't hear you with the plane taking off.
And it's at this point we should, I gotta talk about this. Nicolas Cage is wearing a ton of makeup in this movie.
Yeah, he looked kind of like a corpse.
Did anyone notice
well,
that?
Well, he's seen his
He looked
ex-fiance.
Like a corpse in Awake. He had like this, I don't know, he had way too much of this.
I thought he was wearing a mask that had makeup on it.
Ooh, you thought maybe he was going to be like a different character.
Oh, like Dr. Fibes is going to pull it off and be all scarred and ugly underneath.
There is like makeup on top of makeup.
Well, here's six.
At this point when he lands.
Oh, best line
in
the island.
This is my favorite. One of my favorite lines in any movie ever. And I want Jack to do it because Jack does it very well. When he gets on the island, there's all these islanders who are treating him really badly. Like, they're really mean to him.
Yeah, they're really.
They're bitches.
And they're carrying like a bag that's got like blood dripping from it.
It's wiggling.
And he wants to know, Jack, do the line. He asks him this question.
So what's in the bag? A shark or something?
Yes, he thinks there's a shark in the bag.
Yes, Nicolas Cage, there's a shark in the bag. What the?
And they look at him like totally straight faced, like, oh, like, you know.
Right,
you know.
Right.
I think all those people just got Botox in the movie.
Then he goes to look in the bag. And it
like jumps.
It jumps and he doesn't look at it anymore.
It's not a shark.
And he's totally satisfied.
Again,
oh, okay.
He's a cop. It appears in something living.
I'm a policeman looking for a missing girl.
And he's looking for a little girl.
He's looking for a missing girl who
there's a girl size. There's a girl sized thing inside a bloody bag kicking.
And there's blood dripping out of it. And he's like, all right, well, I guess I'm up off to the inn. What?
Oh, it could be a shark. Just a shark.
He never even looked at it. He's so concerned about it. And then
he's like, I'll let it go.
Suspicious women dressed like medieval blacksmiths carrying a bloody bag containing some wiggling creature. He's looking for a missing girl, and he says, it's just a shark.
At this point, too, he starts flashing his badge around.
Yes.
And, you know, being really, you know, I'm a cop. I'm going to ask everyone here questions. What jurisdiction does this guy have? He's like a highway cop.
Which they call him out on.
They did, yeah.
They do say that, and I'm like, okay.
He's not a detective. He's not FBI.
Right.
Well, and then
like
this
why? But after they come out, why does he still think he has any?
This is like the first scene we get a freak out where Nicolas Cage.
I love Nicolas Cage freakouts.
Like, where he's like, I'm acting. I'm a cop. I'm a cop. I'm a bad cop. I'm copping it up. I'm a cop.
Yeah,
it's totally
that scene in the end was really bad.
As all the other characters
ask
in the movie,
everyone here questions.
I'm questioning you. You're talking to me. I'm talking to you. And everyone's just staring.
I'm gonna kill this bee.
Drinking their honey mead.
Yeah.
And she had to explain what it was. Yeah. We don't have beer. We only have honey mead. It's something we make from the honey. It's like, I know what mead is.
Well, then we get to the other whole issue. Every conversations in this movie
escalate rapidly and then like come back down. It goes from like, right, I'm in your face, I've got questions, you'll talk to me too. Hey, you guys got any beer?
What's beer? That? My room's
right. Why do you have beer?
You don't have any honey. Sorry, I'll get you some sweetener.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And then he kills a bee.
And then he smashes a bee, to which the bartender looks at him like he just like took a dog's leg off. You know,
well, honey is their bread and butter, so.
And he checks in.
And he mentions too that he's allergic to bees. That's why you got to point that out.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why he kills the bees. I'm allergic to bees. Right.
That would come up huge later in the movie.
It would have had it not. Well, it does come in at one point.
Yeah. But people don't mention they're allergic to something in a movie unless it's going to come up later on. Yeah.
Right.
So.
That's what, if I ever write a movie, I'm going to put a line in it. I'm allergic to something and then never go back.
Never go back.
I'm allergic to cinnamon.
Never mention it. Yeah. So we then start this endless loop, which I, as I'm watching it, just felt like a bad Murder, She Wrote episode. Of Nicolas Cage goes around and talks to the women who run this island.
Well, right.
No one helps him.
He meets his fiance right there then.
Yeah, he meets his fiance.
Upstairs, she's like, we can't talk here. They're watching me. So they go to a secluded area.
About 10 feet away.
About 10 feet away where you can see the dock behind them and everything. Like, people walk around. It's the like, whoa, is this is secret.
Plain sight of about 50 people.
And he's here to investigate this disappearance. And his first question is, why did you leave me?
Yeah.
And they discuss why he left and all this stuff. And it's like, how about, okay, when's the last time you saw this girl?
Honestly, though, what if you wearing? Just left you high and dry.
You might, yes. Yeah, but once you eventually get around to asking questions about the missing girl,
yeah, I don't think he ever did that.
They didn't. No. They didn't.
No, no, as we've established, he's just a highway patrolman.
I think his only question was, why did you come to me and not the girl's father?
Right.
And at that point, I was like, okay, I wrote this.
Which you want to yell at him? You're the father.
I wrote that.
Dumbass.
Is Cage the dad?
I pulled you over. I mean,
seriously, you get a letter from somebody, you see a picture of a girl, you broke up with her about 8 years ago, and she's got an 8-year-old. Figure it out.
Hold on.
Wouldn't you be like,
hold on, let's take a break.
Bother.
I'm going to check your math here. Oh, that is correct.
Yes, right? Yeah.
Your math is correct.
Come on!
Yeah. When it comes to the paternity of 8-year-old Rowan Nicolas Cage, you are the father!
So he keeps going around the island. He's talking to all these women. Everyone's weird with him. You know, and at this point, we get basically into the overall theme of this movie. You know, clearly, I don't know what director Neil Labute was saying to them, but he was, to every department in the movie, other than set design, he was clearly saying, up the weirdness. I need you to weird it up. I mean, everyone, you think you're being weird? You're not weird enough. More quirky. I just vision him, like, with a bullhorn, asking, like, more quirky, more quirky.
At some point along the way, too, Lily Sobieski wanders on the set from some other movie or something.
Yeah, right.
She just kind of wanders in, says some lines, and disappears for a while. I just want to mention that.
Right. That is, by the way, a factually accurate scene of what Lily Sobieski does.
She came from the set of Glass House or something and did a couple scenes and went back
to the young girl.
Oh, who's eating the apples?
Yeah.
The one that gets kicked across the room later.
Yeah. Waiter on, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, what was she doing in the movie? Yeah. She literally just had, she just, he's right. She's just there out of the blue, and she says, take me with you if you leave.
And then she's gone.
And then she's gone. It's like, huh?
Yeah, her stuff.
Ah, that line came back later.
Yeah, she talked about wax, she talked about the bees in the beginning, and then take me with you, and then she's gone.
Yeah. And then she's gone. In a movie that makes.
But she was acting weird, too.
Yeah. The whole movie makes no sense, she is the craziest part of a movie that is crazy to begin with.
Well, she's like that. She's like that. What would we call that? That outside element that comes into the picture to give it some kind of that extra dynamic that one character that just kind of mixes it up.
You're giving him way too much credit. This was the studio note. We need a hot chick in this movie.
Right,
that was it. That was a studio note. Get someone young and hot in this movie. Yeah, wait, we don't have a part for her. Oh, that's fine. Just have her walk around and say
just
weird things.
Just have her walk around eating an apple. Yeah.
Now, I think we're to the part now where he sees her out the window.
No, that was after,
he kind of sees her.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say, I was going to
skip some parts because I was falling asleep.
No, that's what I was going to say. You might fill me in because I did fall asleep. That's where I fall asleep.
I was out.
I was trucking through this sucker.
We're just going to go.
I fell asleep
for a
whole night.
He talks to a bunch of people. They don't help him. He thinks he sees her. He doesn't find her. He eventually ends up going to the local school.
Yes, the schoolhouse.
Which is another scene
where... Awesome. The school mom is weird.
Yeah, where she's, you know, no one's helping Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage continually seems to be surprised that no one on the island is helping them. Right. Although at this point, like, 15 people have refused to help him.
So now he's resorted to screaming at school children.
Again, it's like...
You are all liars.
You are all liars!
Little liars.
Yeah, we turn the acting dial up to 11 again. Yeah. You know, where in a strange move, he like freaks out in the classroom, erases their chalkboard, and is like, my name is Officer Malus, and writes it on
Why
the board.
Why is there a crow in that girl's desk?
Like, he's the teacher.
I'm a policeman.
That was pretty weird. There was a crow in the desk.
Yeah, why was there... And there's a live crow in a desk?
Turning up the weirdness.
Yeah, just turn up the
weirdness. Just to be weird. Again, just, you know...
More weird. This scene isn't weird enough.
What scene needs something? Yes, a crow in the desk.
What's in the desk, kids? A shark?
And here, too, this is where they start talking about how the how the women are the dominant... Well, gender and the men are subservient. They don't even speak. So, well, this is because the teacher starts going like, you know, saying something like, "Oh, just because you're a man doesn't mean you know." She kind of has that vibe.
You quixotic bastard.
Yeah, something like, you know, "Oh, you men, you're so violent and
you men, you come in here and erase our chalkboards."
Yeah, which is a it's
pound your fists and release our crows.
It's reverse sexism.
At some point, too, you think he would be like, "This is really strange. The guys don't talk."
Right,
and it's weird. Probably
even they haven't seen a guy yet.
I'm gonna call this island, get some help, and come back.
No,
because this is really strange.
I think he's trying his cell phone, and it just doesn't.
Well, he ran out of 50s to get back on the plane.
Yeah. And actually, I think a little bit of plot comes in here.
You know,
too.
This island wasn't too far from the shore. I'm sure he could have swam it.
When a little bit.
Suggestion, get started.
When he accosts the school children and calling them all liars and stuff, he finally goes out. The school teacher comes out. And there's actually some plot here when she says something about, oh, she's dead or something. He tells her, she tells him that the girl is dead, and that's why they're not talking about her. She doesn't exist anymore.
Not surprisingly, at this point, I was like, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
But
at this point, I was still confused.
But then she goes, you know, he asks, oh, how did she die? And the teacher goes, oh, she'll be burned to death. And he's like, what? And he's like, oh, she burned to death.
You didn't accentuate the Nicolas Cage. What?
What? I can't do it like you.
What?
So there's like this weird like, oh, she'll be burned to death. Like, so she's still alive. And so he's got to go try to find her.
And I think that was the point where I was like,
but then this
it's not the girl from the picture who burned in the car.
The weird thing
are you talking about?
He goes down the trail and he sees a girl woman. And he's like, didn't I just see you at the school?
And she's like, no, you didn't.
No, it's like, so I'm like, oh, this must be a plot point. Okay.
Yeah, there was nothing after that.
I'm thinking a supernatural thing or a twin thing?
I can't believe
that. Because they're
on the old
twins.
But I'm not doing anything.
Yeah. I can't believe that for a second time I'm going to try and defend this movie.
You can't, because you can't. It has nothing to do with twins.
Yeah, there's a weird theme in the movie where there's a lot of twins. A lot of the women are twins.
But I didn't pick up on that.
And it has nothing to do with anything. The old woman.
There's a couple other, in the classroom, there's a couple.
The classroom is like the village of the damned. They're all just staring
forward.
They never do anything.
They never do anything with it. Yeah, there's no purpose.
There's no reason for it.
It's the theme of
school. And to point it out like that, like, didn't I just leave you at school house? No. Like, that was it.
All right. Well, the whole movie, I'm like, okay, this is something. And I wait until the end to be like, what's going on with this? And it's like, what? Nothing?
Yeah.
I totally forgot about it until we
thought
that
was going to be a prestige-like twist.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. That's
we basically then get a series of, I don't know what the over-under of shots of Nicolas Cage bicycling through the woods is in this movie. I would put it.
It's a huge montage. And let's just talk about that scene. Can we please? I want to touch on this. I don't know where in the movie it is, but it has no relevance to the plot overall, so I just want to get it out of the way now. He's riding his bike down a path. He sees a group of guys stacking logs into a cart, pulls over. Hey, let me help you. He randomly, out of the blue, midway through experiencing all of these weird people getting met with resistance at every single turn as he's trying to figure out the mystery of a missing girl. He's got to deal with his ex-fiance, the possibility that the kid might be his, the possibility that the girl might be killed. He's riding a bicycle and he decides, I'm going to help these random strangers stack logs in a cart. He begins to help them, then somehow screws it up. All the logs end up falling on the ground, knocking several of these innocent guys over. And then he's like, okay. And he just rides his bike away.
Good luck with that.
Totally destroyed their logging operation.
It has nothing to do with the movie.
Have you heard? I'm a police officer.
The only reason was to establish that the guys don't talk. That's like the only reason.
Right,
to show that,
that
they're
that was that scene, yeah.
Yeah.
Subservient and they don't talk.
We that's also the, get a scene where Nicolas Cage goes out in the dock because he's trying to get in touch with the pilot. Yeah. This scene was infuriating. This was the
wasn't
this
it?
Where, this is where I threw the notebook.
Oh, I forgot about the scene on the boat, though.
Well, no, well,
where
we
the truck hits the girl on the boat when he's on the way over. I forgot to talk about that. Yeah. What the hell was that?
Yes!
There's a truck on a boat killing a girl.
That wasn't literal. That was a guilt.
Yeah, yes. I know. Yeah. Still, I was like, you kidding me?
Well,
and now I thought that was cool.
Now you're treated to this. Really?
So he's sitting on the dock waiting to try and find the pilot who he bribed to bring him over.
Yeah.
And then we get, nothing makes me madder in a movie more than when someone wakes up, or something crazy happens, then the person wakes up and go, oh, it was a dream.
They do that twice.
He wakes up from a dream in a dream.
That happened to me last night, though, so.
All right.
It is.
It happened to me last night.
I've actually done that before, too.
This was like Inception.
Were you being incepted?
I know. I guess
I've done that before, too.
My dead dog was there. It was weird.
Oh,
but you weren't cradling a dripping wet corpse of a little girl.
Yeah, this is because he feels so much guilt that he, in the dream, he sees the girl under the water. He dives under the water. I can't remember what happens, but he ends up waking up on the dock. There's like that close up,
right?
And then it zooms out, and he's holding the dead girl in his arms, and then he wakes up again.
There's a little top spinning.
And then he starts freaking out,
if
like, "Oh, I'm losing my mind."
If they had done one more, I'm waking up from a dream, in a dream, in a dream, waking up from it. I was going to be like, okay. Wait,
yeah.
Then he wakes up on the highway.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie.
I was waiting for that, too.
Because he does pass out. Like I said before, when the title appears, he falls on the highway and it says The Wicker Man. So the moment his eyes close and he's knocked out, the movie begins. It would have been great.
He's conscious a lot for
us. I thought for sure they're going that route.
Yeah.
So he gets somewhere along the way here. He finds out that the girl is his daughter.
Well, I was going to say, it's coming up, and it's like...
It's the infamous How to Get Burned scene.
That's later.
I think that's the first...
Okay. I thought that was How to Get Burned.
Is that the first plot twist?
Well, if
that's
it's
the first
if it's
twist, right?
It's a twist,
well,
yeah.
Well, if you call it a twist.
Well, yeah.
It's even, you know... and he gets...
More like a gentle little girl.
Is it a twist if you figured it out half an hour ago?
There's a little sarcasm in that, I think.
And finally, we get introduced to... We've met all these weird women. We finally get introduced to Ellen Burstyn.
Well, okay...
Sister
how we got here though is great because he's walking around the island. I think it's after he goes to the schoolhouse or no, after the dock. I think he's sort of just wandering around the island. I think on his bike, and all of a sudden he realizes he's in a field of bees, like just in the middle of a field of bees.
I forgot about that.
Like this guy who's allergic to bees somehow just wandered into this field of just bees everywhere, and he gets attacked. So he obviously falls unconscious.
Well, he runs into the beehive like an idiot.
Right, yeah. Let's think, somehow he wandered into
this
field of beehives, and then, he's running away, and he's, like, running into them, and it's crazy. So he gets stung by all these bees, and he's falls unconscious. Then
falls unconscious. The doctor on the island is the mom from 6 feet Under.
And the maid in American Horror Story.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Hot maid?
She's, no.
Well, the older version
right,
of the hot maid.
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah.
With the glass eye?
Who are you?
I was joking.
Yeah. She saves him, and we finally meet... Sister Summer Isle, who is the queen bee of the island. It's pretty, And, you get it? Because the island's
you figured
a bee.
It out?
There's a worker. The men are the drone. Yeah, this
I got
is,
it.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, they
you
really
got
hammer
it.
This point home.
It's like a Shyamalan shovel, just piling it on.
Ellen Burstyn, by the way. How
has
bad?
Never looked bad. Oh, sorry.
Well, how bad? I mean, this is her.
Well, she had that Braveheart paint going at the end of the movie.
Yeah,
she,
well, we're getting it. Well, we have to. Don't worry, we're going to get to that. She gives like a Keanu Reeves esque performances. I mean, there is every line. It's if the director's
was she
telling.
The old lady in the Matrix.
No,
I was going to say because that character reminded me of.
No, I mean she just she reads. It's like, she's actually reading it. I mean, everyone else is told to be as weird
like
and quirky
Sigourney
as
Weaver
they can
in Abduction.
Be.
Exactly. Yeah.
She is as bland.
Yes,
and
just plain and simple.
Plain.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
You forget everything she says as soon as she says it.
And she's
it.
Supposed to be one of these important characters.
If she's supposed to be threatening, they have problems. Because, I mean, this is where the movie, for me, it's already off the rails, but, like, her character. Now the train's completely off the tracks because her character is not threatening at all. I mean, there is nothing.
This is old lady.
Isn't Nicolas Cage?
I feel like she's in more danger of like having dementia and wandering off and getting lost than hurting anyone.
Now, did anybody else notice that Nicolas Cage keeps like slapping himself as if he's getting stung by bees?
That's what I was gonna say. If they're walking around this this yard and there's tons of bees flying around. Yeah, now, right. But now he's not like now freaking he's not out. About,
right.
But yeah. when they land on his skin, he just kind of okay and
yeah,
slaps
he's just sort
him.
Of like, oh, get away. Yeah.
Fresh off a near death experience right. with bees, they go and for an afternoon just... stroll with more bees.
To the
bees.
More yeah. bees.
In a bee garden. It's
oh,
like...
more bees.
Oh. Which we're gonna let's jump ahead a little bit.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage continues his investigation, which has gone nowhere and is going nowhere and probably is headed towards nowhere.
Well,
and
he has permission to dig up.
This is why, yeah, yes. when he's talking right. to Sister Summerchild, he asks for permission to dig up the grave of
somebody.
Rowan.
Because right. she confirms girl. That Rowan is dead.
Right. So he asks to dig up the grave, and she agrees.
Yeah.
So he, did so he goes to do it.
Should we get to the
he does
part?
It, he does it in the middle of the night.
Right.
He goes in the middle of the night.
You can only
he's
got
to do it in secret, even though he has permission to do it.
He digs up graves in the day. That's
well, I was going to say, this is like a movie role.
Once you start yelling about the...
Oh,
it's the next morning. That's next morning.
There's stuff in between.
Because, yeah... He digs up the grave.
Then he walks.
Finds a doll.
Yeah, it's burned.
Then he, all of a sudden he hears in the distance something like...
He walks into an obvious trap.
A child. A child is calling.
Yeah.
So he walks into an obvious trap.
I'm yelling, it's a trap, like Akbar.
It's a trap!
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, we discussed this.
Well, he's just a highway cop.
He finds the sweater in, underneath a grate.
Crawls
picks up the grate. Jumps down in the water.
By the way, wearing a full suit.
Right. He took his jacket off. He took his jacket off.
I think he still has his shoes on.
He has 10 different suits in this movie because he's like always in the water in them.
And you know,
and he's dry most of the time.
Road cops are big for wearing suits.
Yeah, they are.
By the way, I just gotta say this. I listened to a little in the commentary track. That was a actor's choice by Nicolas Cage.
to wear a suit
throughout the movie. That was a choice by Nicolas Cage.
Do we get any explanation as to why?
He jumps in the well because he's like... Oh, I heard the child down here, so he gets in the well.
So you think he's going to save some trapped child.
Right, and then all of a sudden somebody comes along and traps him in the well.
Yeah. He's in this well for like clearly...
Yeah, he's just like...
It's like daytime by the time he's out. Yeah, there's like sun.
I guess what I want to say, I can't say yet because... I can't say it yet.
All right,
he gets trapped in the well.
So he gets trapped in
the well. Now we're treated to all his demented flashbacks, not flashbacks, dreams. He's dreaming about... this and that, and they kind of hit on some plot points for you there. There's a couple things that happen there where you kind of figure some things out.
Do you really?
Yeah, they're,
maybe I just didn't. Who cared at this point?
Because
I mean,
he does, like they show the,
just know
they show the, his partner coming, the chick coming, and when she talked to him in the beginning, and she's got a bee on her, and you're like,
I just figured that was
they're doing all this weird stuff.
Okay,
But anyway, but to jump ahead, they let
it's supposed to be artistic.
His ex-fiance comes and lets him out of
the next morning.
Pool he was locked in. He still has his tie on, by the way.
Right.
He spent the night
he's
underwater,
and he's
with
pretty
a tie
dry
on.
When they have their little conversation.
It's an actor's choice.
And he just busts out of this pool. He's been in water for clearly at least 10 hours. Just busts out and goes back to running.
Let me show you something.
It's like a video game. Like,
you know,
you're just, okay.
His health bar is still...
Yeah,
well, and then he screams,
this is one of my favorite scenes, where he goes, because he gets out, he's like, I gotta show you something. He goes back out to the cemetery, picks up the doll.
How'd it get burned? How'd it get burned?
At this point, they go back to
when to be urgent and when to be just...
Yeah, because he goes from, thanks for saving me.
He goes
from he goes from, thanks for saving me, to just yelling at this woman, she knows how it got burned.
Yeah. And then, he turns
and finally, she's like, I don't know.
He turns up the...
Just ask her more. Ask her once. Is this Rowan's doll? Yes. Then why is it burned?
Yeah.
But it wasn't Rowan's doll. It was a doll from the beginning of the movie.
He is no... Yeah. It's also
which added to the confusion because I still thought that it was the same girl.
And it doesn't let him be acting. I'm acting now. I am acting my heart out. I am acting.
He's not going to win a Razzie if he doesn't escalate.
And this point, when he starts yelling, how to get burned, is the point where he just loses his mind. And the rest of the movie is just him just yelling and kicking down doors.
From that point on, from the how did it get burned screaming, from that moment on, the film just shines.
It is insanity.
I actually love the last part of the movie.
This
is how they actually progress the plot. This is how they because technically nothing is really actually different at this point. But all of a sudden, Nicolas Cage just goes, something bad is gonna happen.
Yes, yeah. Right.
Okay.
Get home. You go home. I feel something bad is gonna happen.
It already has. I feel it
tingling in my knee.
My spider sense is tingling.
Where?
Hypothermia. Maybe you should take it.
I was wondering that too. I guess when you're trapped in a pool of water for 10 hours, you start to have...
Yeah, you just start to get premonitions. I don't know.
Is he dehydrated or something?
So now, if the movie has been quirky enough, they take the quirky meter just pegs from this point on in the movie. He goes back to Sister Summerisle's house. There's like just an assortment of like
weird
circus sideshow acts going on at
her.
Oh, right.
House. At one point, he walks by a room that like somebody's, a house some lady's covered with beard.
Oh, yeah,
like
a beard. Honey, beard. Yeah, she's got like yeah. honey all over her face.
She's, and she's like beard. Looking and smiling. It's like, yeah, well, all kinds of weird.
Yeah, you know, because I mean, you know, they make honey.
And,
the island.
And Ellen Burstyn's is lying in the bed.
Yeah, she's like hiding,
stretched
from...
out in the bed upstairs with yeah, her servants around her.
Oh my like, god, he had like yeah, guy plankton with, on his chest.
A guy with yeah. one eye.
Is he? If he's their sex slave, my god. Like,
it, then there's
no
like,
wonder all those weird people are on the island.
It starts this crazy search, and we should well, mention goes, too. At this point, we're also seeing because the business of the women on this island is they make honey. So there's these beekeeper characters who look. Vaguely like stormtroopers, like, you know, in the most menacing beekeeping outfits I think anyone's ever seen. Yeah. And Nicolas Cage is on this crazy search, just running around the island. He finds the pilot has been murdered.
Yeah.
Why right. was the pilot murdered?
Because he freaking drove right, the brought, Nicolas Cage there. Ratted him out.
Well, again, we can go back. We can,
right, we'll
yeah,
go back.
We have to talk about that at the end, like, why it doesn't make sense.
Right, it doesn't make any sense.
But
yeah.
And at this point, too, he steals the bike from the school marm.
Yes.
At gunpoint.
At gunpoint, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Step away from the bike!
Step away from the bike.
There's a great scene, too.
How do you read that dialogue and not sound like an ass?
I didn't write it down. There's a great line when he's searching a room.
Oh, is it this one?
And he says something to him. You haven't...
Yeah. We'll get there. That's my favorite, that's my secondary line in this movie.
It's coming up. It's coming up.
All right. So then, I'm losing...
That's great.
I was checked out of this movie, by the way, at this point. What
actually
happens?
I checked out my phone.
Okay, so he steals
the
bike from the school teacher.
Okay.
Then he just goes
but not the
bike.
School teacher's
he,
twin.
He drives back into town on the bike, and he just starts kicking down doors and going into all these rooms trying to find this girl. He's taking masks off of all these children because they're wearing the masks because it's the ceremony.
It's the day of death and rebirth.
So then he goes into one house, and he... Oh, okay, yes. He goes into this house... And the woman's like, really, like, do you have permission to be in my house? She's like, you know, you, what are you doing here? Do you have permission to be in my house? And he starts yelling. He's like, I don't need your permission. I'm looking for this girl. And he goes, you have my permission. Stay out of the effing way. And he just, like, yells at her.
The way he delivered is great.
Yeah, you got to look this up on YouTube.
You have
YouTube
my permission to stay out of the effing way.
Yeah, he's just screaming at this woman. He busted into this woman's house, kicked her door down.
Nicolas Cage voice.
And he just starts yelling at her. Then he goes like into her bedroom and like opens the closet and like a
by
girl,
the way,
a girl
really
falls
creepy
out.
Creepy moment when that girl falls
yeah, she like
out and
she like
laughing.
Falls out and he's like, oh, and then she starts laughing and they all start
and
laughing
they all start laughing at him.
That was really
yeah.
creepy.
No, seriously, at some point,
but why was she in that closet?
That's he's got to know something screwed up.
Yeah,
going
I think
on.
They're just effing with him.
Well,
yeah,
I got to get somebody to help me here.
Well, you think so. Well, now, and this is where the movie's about to get famous, because, and before we get into this next point, I want to, just so Gloria Allred doesn't shut this podcast down before we get anywhere, we want a disclaimer. There is, violence towards women is not funny. The concept
no, I laughed.
Of, wait, hold on. The overall concept of violence towards women, not funny.
And that's
but
when Nicolas Cage is
but,
involved.
Oh my
anyone
gosh.
Can make it funny.
In this movie... Greatest we now scene are treated to a scene where Nicolas Cage just starts punching
well,
women
my
in
favorite,
the face.
My favorite,
he walks
my,
in
my
this
favorite
room.
Thing about this, the first one is this craziness. He's busting down doors, you know, running all over the place. Then he just walks in this room slowly. There's
like
this,
clock
there's,
ticking,
the,
sound
yeah.
effect, creaking
like this,
floorboard.
The old bartender there, the woman.
Yeah,
she looks at him. She's just like, oh, you look worse for the wear. And he just walks slowly up to her, looks at her in the face.
Roundhouse.
Right in the face.
And knocks
and
her out.
Yeah,
one
there's,
punch.
There's that shadow of her just going to the floor. Her head hits the ground. And it cuts to the next
I
the next
wish
scene.
I didn't know he's going to punch late. I knew he was going to punch women. I wish I didn't know because I would have laughed even harder.
I still
because I laughed. I would have laughed harder.
The way this scene is staged, it's funnier than the horse getting knocked out in Blazing
oh,
Saddles.
Is.
I mean, the framing of it is so crazy.
And then Lily Sobieski
yeah,
wanders back onto the set. She's attacking him
for some reason.
For no reason. Lily Sobieski, again, studio note. Hey, when's that hot chick coming back in the movie?
Now.
We'll have her jump
back.
On Nicolas Cage's back.
Then we're gonna kick her across the room.
He kicks her in the
what
chest.
An idea.
She goes flying back into the wall.
That's quite the kick.
He basically...
Like a Jackie Chan kick.
Well, he almost like punts her. Like, he like drops her onto
like
his
Jack
foot
Black
and
it's
kicks
a drop
her.
Kick.
She flies across the room and like slams to a wall. All these
glasses shattering.
And this is the point, and I have a note on this. Jack brought this up. Ellen Burstyn is putting together this pagan ritual with the other women in the island. There are so many flaws in this movie, but the makeup department deserves her makeup looks, it really looks like someone said, like there was a note that said, okay, imagine a circus clown wanted to put on war paint from Braveheart. That's what I want it to look like. It looks ridiculous.
It is so, and, so distracting.
And she's wearing it for the whole
final third of
the
movie. And she's taunting him sinisterly throughout the entire sequence. And you're not, again, because she's so dry, as we mentioned earlier. And the paint makes it worse.
What's great, I didn't even notice her makeup because I was paying too much attention to Nicolas Cage in a bear suit.
Well, I was going
to
say, what's great is that the barmaid, Her thing in the ceremony was she was supposed to wear a bear suit.
So he punches her out and steals her bear suit.
Takes the bear suit.
By the way, they won a Razzie. One of the Razzies this film wore was for worst couple. The couple was Nicolas Cage and a bear suit. That was a Razzie he received.
And he starts walking around. Are we to that point where he just runs up the lady?
So the ceremony starts. They're all marching. They're all marching up to the whatever they're doing up there, and he sees a little girl up there.
Rowan's tied to a pole.
She's tied to this pole. They're gonna burn her. So he runs up. Yeah, he says because the mother's there.
To the mother, I'll be back. Or yeah, says something.
He says like stay here.
I'll be back.
And he's in the most comical scene.
He's running across the field
in a bear suit.
Yeah,
it doesn't even stop. The girl goes, "What's wrong, sister? Whatever." Doesn't even miss
a beat.
Knocks her out.
Nicolas Cage is now knocked out in a time span of less than 5 minutes. He's knocked out three women with three punches. He is three for three.
He grabs Rowan and starts running with her.
In a bear suit.
Don't worry, honey, I'm not going to hurt you.
He puts her down, gets out of the bear suit.
Don't worry, I'm not going to punch you.
Then somehow an 8-year-old outruns a 30-something-year-old. Have you ever raced an 8-year-old? Yeah, I can beat an 8-year-old hands down.
She destroys him. Like,
Rowan, wait, Rowan. Hold on, Rowan.
Come back here. The bear suit's around my ankles. I can't keep up.
He was out of the bear suit already.
Oh, yeah. She's like Jackie Joyner Cruz. I mean, she's gone. She's a solid 50 yards ahead of him.
And then she finally runs up from her and says, "Did I do good, Mommy?" And it's like, you know, you find out that he is the sacrifice, which I've been wanting to scream at the TV for about 45 minutes now.
Yeah, I think everyone's
get it. Don't you get it? You're the sacrifice, idiot.
He is the sacrifice. It's established throughout the movie. The colony of women, their honey production has been weighed down. They now are going to sacrifice Nicolas Cage.
They have to have
Cage
a special sacrifice.
Sacrifice as part of a pagan ritual. They needed to sacrifice someone who had a connection to the island.
Who was one of them.
And because Nicolas Cage was the father of Rowan, he had a connection to the island. They're going to sacrifice him.
Now, here's a question. Why didn't they just lie to him and tell him, hey, you just won the Summer's Isle lottery.
Come
to the island and get a bunch of money. And the moment he shows up, knock him out.
Well, hold. Before we get into that, we also have to do one of the big reveal. And then this will change. Then we'll get into all that. As Nicolas Cage is about to be burned alive. I mean, basically,
in a gigantic wicker man, therefore just
in a gigantic wicker man. Some of the other women take off their masks. And in a very quick shot, we see these masks.
So quick, I missed
off,
it.
I missed it too.
That the woman from the car crash in the beginning of the movie and his friend on the police force,
the chick,
are women on this island.
And the little girl.
And the
little
girl. And the little girl from the crash in the beginning of the movie.
Oh, really?
Because they do it. And
I didn't even notice.
And Nicolas Cage kind of looks at him, but doesn't
I
have.
I saw any, that. I thought maybe.
He doesn't have much of a reaction.
That,
I would have been like, oh my God, are you kidding? I mean, there's no reaction. He's kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
He doesn't, so you don't even pick up on it.
He just points his gun at random people and screams stuff like, "Back up! Back up!"
So let's think about that.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. No. Yeah. Your mind is about to explode.
It just blew my mind.
The movie doesn't make any sense.
Your brain.
There was an explosion. She was in the car, and then ba-bam.
It's even more than that. The whole plan is so elaborate.
The plan. Well, think about
that. You'd have to.
So years earlier, they staged. No, actually, let's go back even further than that.
So,
probably more than a decade earlier, they put someone into the Los Angeles Police Department so that they would have a police officer in the inside, so that when they staged a massive explosive crash, that this police officer could give Nicolas Cage a letter to get him to come.
How do you stage a crash? This means you got a truck driver.
Have to assume he's gonna almost get married and have a kid with one of your women too.
Right. Well, even after that, you got to stage an accident. Like you have to have him. We know where he's gonna be patrolling. have the daughter throw the doll out. He'll pick it up and stop us. Then throw the doll back
and
out.
And so they also have to put a. They also have to put one. Got, of the, so they also have to put so someone to tractor trailer
the,
school.
So they have to get out of the car so the tractor trailer hits it.
But they didn't get. That's the thing.
Right, but they
the
did.
Car, no. The car hit them. There's a shot of the woman sitting in the driver's seat.
And then it explodes. That's how crazy
the
this
kid is.
Is
still in the back. So they had to have the truck hit the car, but not hard enough to kill anybody. And then the car explodes as he's looking at the girl in the car.
That's what I was saying the whole time. He's looking at her.
And why did they really need to do that?
Wait. There is a reason.
You're holding us back. You're holding us back.
Well, two quick things.
Damn you, movie!
Well, first, and also think about, they had to send that other woman through the police academy and have her get a job with the LAPD. But now, there is a reason. There is a reason. And I will say this. Again, I'm going to defend the movie. I think it goes without saying. I think we all know the organic honey business is incredibly cutthroat.
Competitive.
This is what it takes.
You want to win in the competitive honey business, you put someone in the LAPD decades before you might even need them to help you stage a gigantic crash to inspire a guy to feel guilty to come back to your island.
To look for a girl that hadn't been born yet at the time you conceived said plan.
That's right.
But my whole thing is, instead of just saying like, oh, hey, send a letter saying, oh, hey, I never told you this, but we had I was pregnant when I left you and I have a daughter. Why don't you come out to the island and meet your daughter, blah, blah, blah. And then instead of like, they stage this whole thing, have him come out, then everyone on the island treats him like, crap. Why not be nice to him? And, oh, hey, why don't you come to our celebration tonight?
Here's your daughter. Let's go up to this hill.
Yeah. At any point,
he could have gotten fed up and just left.
May I add a pun here? A horrible pun, but also at the same time, a famous saying. Is it not better to catch a prey with honey as it is with vinegar?
It's easier
to catch someone with honey.
Have you ever heard
that before?
If you can't see us audibly, I'm groaning.
This is a guy. This is a dude. All I gotta do is say, "Hey, listen, I'm sorry. 8 years ago we broke up. I really, really want you right now. Get to Summer's Isle." A guy's gonna drop everything, be like, "All right, I'm gonna get a little lucky. He's gonna run out there, then take him in the middle of the night or something."
Well, yeah, I mean, why?
I'm a Nigerian prince. I will send you if you wire me $500,000. I will send you.
I feel uncomfortable about sending you this.
This whole plan is, as they see in the end, they always go after police officers because they're gonna say the child's missing to get them to come to investigate.
But there's even
that's their whole plan.
Why sacrifice the pilots?
And this is only in case they need a special sacrifice.
Those women some concussions that they had just done. They, the other
right, they don't always need a special sacrifice.
But once he got to the island, why not be like, all right, throw him in cuffs. We're gonna burn him tomorrow.
Right.
Well,
because she said
he came here on his own free will.
But he would
have to like lure him to the.
But he would have too if they just said, hey, why don't you come to our special ceremony tonight? We're having the big harvest.
Yeah, why am I defending
you? Special, I don't know. You're our special guest. Why don't you come?
Seriously, could have just said like we are going to
twist your mind.
we are going to have a rockin' barbecue tomorrow night. Yeah, why don't you come up?
The field.
Yeah. Hey, why not?
We're going to burn
it. Hey, what's this? A wicker man? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about that giant wicker man. It's not like you're going to be in it and burned alive or anything.
Why are there all those live chickens?
Here's the line that makes no sense. What you're going to sacrifice me because of your honey harvest? I thought, doesn't he say something about how I saw photographs to prove that you had a good honey harvest? Or something?
Something like that. He says something
It made
like
no
that.
Sense. It was like photographs?
Wait, Jack, you're giving
what?
Them way yeah, too yeah, much credit.
No,
so
no
you're
but actually, the best line is like, they cut the whole shocking alternative ending out of the scene.
We're still discussing how terrible everything is. I just want to bring up the pilot. Why did they kill him? The pilot brought him to the island, and ensuring their harvest next year is going to be great.
Right.
And they kill him.
Do they kill a pilot every time they do this? Some point, are pilots going to be like, "Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, you guys have
don't go to summer.
Yeah, I don't go to summer. Like why, eight pilots have gone there, never been seen again.
Why they it's not worth the $100. Why lock him in the well? Why lure him down there and lock him in the well?
Okay.
Are you going to defend it for the fourth time, Alex?
Again, I'm not defending it.
It makes no sense because
there's no purpose to
show.
Any of it because they could have just invited him to the party.
Yeah, but again, why if you're doing this plan, why lock him in the well overnight?
This is what I think. And this is just me.
Did they have to like stall him for some reason?
They did. Well, I'm just trying. My own brain is just trying to process this movie. Like trying to make sense of it. I think they wanted to get the bullets out of his gun? But I mean, they it's didn't show again. Like, they show so elaborate
a scene of him kind of pulling up, but they didn't even show the gun. He kind of goes like the you know, you see what he's doing and puts something down.
Yeah, they never. It's barely even clear that
he lose his bullets.
Yeah, but it didn't take all night to take bullets out of a gun
in the tank for the whole night.
He put his gun away. And then...
It's
hard. So you got to lock him in there for 10 hours to get six bullets out of a gun.
In the grand
scheme... You gotta make sure he fell asleep.
But you have to remember, in the grand scheme, they sent a woman through the police academy like 20 years earlier. Locking a guy in a tank for 8 hours to get bullets out of a gun is very streamlined, for them.
Now, can we go back to my favorite line?
Back to the ending, yeah. Okay. Let's finish the movie.
Because they had to cut... They cut out the... I'm sure an audience...
shocking ending.
I'm sure an audience saw it and said, what the... This is ridiculous.
Well, I think they want to change it. I think they want a PG-13 rating. That's why.
Oh, well,
it was a little violent.
They took out the shocking ending, so they did it all with a voiceover as they're walking up the hill to take him to work.
Dragging him in a sack of all the audio from the shocking original ending. Over them walking to the
woman. And he's talking, he's yelling, they're just kind of explaining, he's yelling, says about, I don't believe in your God, I don't believe in your da-da-da.
Oh, that was part of the alternate
ending. Yeah. Yeah, you see them actually what they're doing.
What I think they did is they shot the ending that we'll get to in a second. It was too shocking because they wanted the PG-13 rating, most likely, or just people thought it was stupid. And they said, cut it out.
I think a focus group said, what?
So instead, in the procession where they're dragging Nicolas Cage in the bag, and then they take him out of the bag, and he sees the Wicker Man, and he's like, oh no. During that procession, they played the audio of the tortures that he went through before getting dragged to the Wicker Man.
But the best part is, instead of because showing, you're not seeing what's happening, he has to tell you. So he's like, I scream, and he's like, also, he says, My legs!
So you don't know why he's screaming.
But the best part of that is in the original ending, though. That's not like they put that in there because you don't see it. In the original ending,
you see him smash his legs.
And he's yelling, my legs! Even then, he's yelling it.
I thought he wasn't yelling.
It was even more ridiculous when he saw
it. I thought he wasn't yelling it.
Yeah, we know they're smashing your legs. You don't have to yell about
My legs! It would be as if James Caan screamed in misery when Kathy Bates slams him in the leg with a hammer. Oh, my legs! Yeah, we saw that.
I mean, those women were assholes. Like, not only is he going to be burned alive, but before he gets burned alive, they have to freaking break his legs and put, like, a mat or, like, a freaking helmet on him and beat
him. Right,
in
the shocking ultimate ending, yeah.
Not the bees! Not the bees! And then he says, I can't believe he said it. I laughed out loud. He actually says, oh, my eyes! My eye!
I mean, am I a little castrated?
Because they stung... The bee stung him, and then they bring him back to life with an EpiPen.
Yeah, it's a point.
Because I guess it had to be like a part of the ritual.
They had to break his legs, sting him to death, bring him back to life, drag him beaten and bloodied to the Wicker Man, and then put him inside the Wicker Man.
Yeah, they freaking put him through the ringer before he got burned to death. Poor guy.
So then in the theatrical ending, though, he gets burned, he's dead, and then it goes to like 6 months later or whatever, and it's his fiance and Lily Sobieski in a bar with the weirdest like cameos ever. All of a sudden, James Franco and Jason Ritter show up.
Yeah.
In the last 3 minutes of this movie, like I don't know, they must have wanted to be in a Wicker Man movie or something.
Well, you know, I'm gonna throw this out really quick. I learned some director's commentary. The scene in the diner in the very beginning, one of the guys, he's a blur. You can barely.
I forgot about that scene because it was so insignificant to the plot until you just mentioned it.
Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, really?
One of the guys in the diner.
Wait, why?
Because he and Neil LaBute are friends.
Well, that's what I figured about these guys. Is, what? I don't know if they're like really like the original Wicker Man, they heard there's a remake, and we really want to be in it. Oh, let's throw on a.
Slap the original filmmakers.
No,
in the
he's
face.
Just one of the like people. Like he's a blur. Like you barely see him, but it's Aaron Eckhart.
He's an extra in a diner scene that has no significance to anything.
Well, and this ending is it kind of tells you what they do. Another elaborate plan. They go after police officers.
Which will not come to fruition until maybe like 2025.
Right. It's another. Yeah. Oh, we got to get more police officers. Yeah, like, just in case we need.
In case we have a
go, hook up with the police officer. Get yourself knocked up. Say you want to marry him. Then break up with him. Go to the island. We'll raise the kid. Don't worry. One of you is gonna. The other one stays in the police force.
And then the credits roll, and it's my last what the F moment is when it comes up and says for Johnny Ramone.
That's the weirdest, Ramone.
And it has nothing to do with Johnny Ramone.
I almost expected like an Nicolas asterisk Cage. And a little statement below being like Johnny Ramone's family does not endorse the Wicker Man. You know, I mean, like. guys. So we,
the family after the movie is like, hey guys, you should come see the screen. It's for your late husband. Oh, okay.
Not the bees. Not the bees. No bees were harmed in making this film.
I'm going to give just a quick... I mean, we did not like this movie very much, clearly.
I did.
Wow, there's a lot of fresh stuff.
This got a 15% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
How is that possible?
I'm going to read clips from just a couple of positive reviews here. Chris Hewitt from the St. Paul Pioneer Press. That is a lot of
paper. It's alliteration.
Wow. Yeah, that
it's
is...
max.
He says, quote, I may be alone in this, and you'll have to give it the benefit of a lot of doubt, but I thought it was interesting. Okay.
Well, interesting, interesting, I think, is not necessarily an inaccurate description of the film.
Well,
it's interesting, I suppose. Interesting is probably the best thing I could say about it.
And then from Ron Reed from Christianity Today. I just thought it was interesting that a public Christianity Today said, critics will readily seize on the new film's quirks and deem it a turkey, but the film has many moderate strengths.
Moderate in parentheses.
I don't.
Where are said strengths, sir? Where are said strengths? I challenge
most
you.
Most people think this is a terrible movie. She's pretty much calling it mediocre. A good recipe for a review.
Yeah. And then the final one I'll read is Jeff Otto from IGN Movies. This is probably the review that Neil Beatt would have loved. He says, quote, a truly odd yet unmistakably engaging remake.
Well said, Jeff.
Yeah. We'll probably jump right to the end. I mean, let's kind of go around. Our big, Cody and I do. We're going to new feature this week. What was the stop the movie moment for each of us when we were like, okay. Like, when we just want to pull the ripcord and be like, I got to get out of here. I got, ejector seat. I'm done. This is a really good one for me. I think for me, it was the dream within a dream within a dream within a dream moment. Because that, I don't want to say it had me up until that point, but I wasn't totally giving up on it. And at that point, I said, okay, that's it. That took the last iota of faith I had in this movie. Cody, what about for you?
For me, I'd have to say this movie is so bad it's good for me, so I didn't really have a stop the movie moment. It was kind of the first couple acts were rough, but then once he started busting doors down and punching women, it was funny enough to me to keep me interested, and I never really had that moment where I was like, oh, I can't go on anymore. So I actually kind of enjoyed watching this one. Huh? I'm glad I bought it.
Andy, what about you?
For me, I don't know. I have to say, I'd say one part I fell asleep was when I was just so bored with it.
That's a pretty good indicator.
And that was like, I fell right asleep. I'm like, I can't keep my eyes open. That was, when the hell was it? It was before he was school teacher.
I'm guessing it was all this dialogue. It was a stretch of when he's riding around the island on a bike. Because
I don't remember much
minutes.
Of that. So I think that was it. It was like right around after he talked to her, why'd you break up with me? And there's like, then I fell asleep.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have gone back to it if I didn't have to do this.
I would have liked to have recut this movie with the Murder, She Wrote theme music played over
it. It would have fit.
Yeah. Jack, what about you?
Well, there was a point where I wanted to get out of the film, and it was when they introduced Ellen Burstyn.
Yeah.
Because she was so dry and so odd and just kind of like, oh, we live on our little summer's isle, and this is our world, and this is how we live here. And it's like, okay.
I could have done without her
but,
in the movie.
But, as Cody said, because as Andy said, I had to watch it because of the review. But as Cody said, the moment he started flipping out about the burned doll, and he started kicking down doors, and that bear suit, and again, I do not support violence against women, but it was just... That movie was just so... It got to that point where I just had to watch. I had to watch it. I wanted to watch this film after that point. So it would have been... That Ellen Burstyn scene, I would have been like, I'm just done. I'm tired of this. It's stupid. This is so confusing. She's not really explaining anything. Why? I would have turned it off. But since I had to watch it, I found myself pleasantly surprised by that acceleration of the overacting.
The insanity.
The insanity that follows. Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
It still bothers me that you're burning a guy alive. You have this whole elaborate plot and everything. And you freaking treat him like garbage before he's getting burned alive. Like, when someone's getting executed, they don't, like, break his arms and, like, tar and feather them and throw him in the electric chair. You give him a nice steak dinner. You get the guy his last meal.
But you know, Brett, you're not giving credit. This is a corporate culture. This is business. Right, this right. is business.
Right. That is crap.
They don't call it honey friendship. They call it the honey business. Okay.
I mean, I know they don't like men in that community, but treat him with a little respect. I mean, breaking legs, one thing. A bee helmet. I mean, really.
Why they have a bee helmet?
Yeah, why do they have a bee? Like, who was like, you know what we need around here? We need a helmet we can pour bees into.
Right, and torture somebody.
Sister Violet, get on that.
Yeah, make that up. For me, I don't know. I don't know if I thought this movie was so bad it's good. But I will say this.
Yeah.
I would pay money to watch people watch this movie. Like, especially the end. Like, if my college, like, theology professor, I would pay $5 to watch someone like that watch the final 10 minutes, because it's just insane.
You
like
mean the extended ending, right?
Yeah, the looks on people's faces as they watch this movie must be like, what am I seeing? What is happening here?
You know, it could be the new Two Girls, One Cup. Yeah. Just get YouTube videos, people reacting to, not the bees, not the bees!
There's some movies that are bad that I'll watch over and over again because they have some atmosphere or some cinematography I really enjoy. And this one, I'd watch it again. And I think I'd watch it again just because him punching the women is so damn funny. I would probably watch that again, because that first one, when he lays her out...
Yeah.
You can't help but laugh.
Quick disclaimer, Gloria Allred, please do not shut down this podcast.
The way that shot is just funnier than hell. I mean, I'd probably watch it again.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Because you almost going back and watch it again and trying to pick out more points.
I would not want
to. What I missed the first time.
I would not want to think about it.
Because I want to go back and explore the twin thing again, because that's got to be some plot point there.
There isn't.
Have any of you guys seen the original Wicker Man?
I have.
No.
Long time ago.
I always wanted to see it, but I never did.
It's actually pretty similar to the original. Like, the original was better, but as far as, like, creepiness goes and everything, it's very similar to the original. So it's not like this was
a completely far-out
version of the movie. Like, they borrowed a lot. And even, actually, if you look at the IMDb page, they say, like, 80% of the script is the exact same from the original. So we can't completely trash on these filmmakers. They just kind of made an inferior version of the original movie.
They did. They did.
Oh, what the hell? We can still trash him.
Well, we can still... Yeah, this is... There are more bad choices in this movie than, like, Lindsay Lohan made in the 2000s. I mean, it's just... And it's so rare. How often do you make fun of a makeup department? I mean, I've never, at the end of a movie, been like, oh, what an awful job by the makeup department. Like, what? Never said that before on anything.
It looked bad. It just looked bad.
It looked bad.
Well, like it was, we're talking too about the shooting of it. I didn't think it was anything spectacular.
Well, the shooting, shot this, better. The
writing was...
The camera department, Queer, was the only department that they weren't being like, more weird, more weird. Right, like, they were somehow,
they were downplaying it.
Yeah, they really were. I think it was like, everyone else, turn up the quirk. Camera department, you guys played straight. So that's our episode for the week. We'll be back with another episode very soon. If you have a movie you want us to review, or you think you can help us understand any of these cinematic disasters we've seen, we are still looking for a lot of answers on Lady in the Water. I know I am. If you have any answers to any of these movies, please email us at comments@stopthemoviepodcast.com.
Yeah.
Please like our Facebook page. We're going to have updates on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter at windupfilms. Boy, that is a lot of social media.
I know. Well, Andy can check our site for updates at stopthemoviepodcast.com.
Yeah, Stop the Movie Podcast, yeah. So please, yeah, send in those comments, send in those movie suggestions. You can send them to us on Facebook. And that is it. And so for this episode, it is good night. And as always, not the bees!
Not the bees!
Not the bees.
Rowan, don't you know me?